And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongue. And then 29 continues and says, all are not apostles, are they? And we know what this is talking about. It goes on and asks the same question about prophet, teachers, works, or miracles. And we know that what he's telling us here, one of the things he's telling us is that we're not all called to each one of those positions. But let me read it to you this way, though. All are not apostles, are they? Let me just insert here, yet all are honored. All are not prophets, are they? Yet all are honored. What am I saying? We don't just honor people because of the calling and the position of the gift that Lord gives. We honor the gift. We honor the person with that gift. But we don't do that at the expense of another. And to me, that's really important when you read that and you insert that. And so 31 then says, but earnestly desire the greater gifts, covet, literally, and I show you still a more excellent way. Now, what comes after chapter 12? Love. 13, yes, but love. And I expected both answers, so not surprised. And again, I don't think this is happenstance, because to honor someone with godly honor is an act of love. Now, sometimes to do it can be an act of faith, but that makes sense too, because how does faith work? Faith is energized by our love. So we set the tone here for what I want to talk about. Honor, to value something, an implication of worth. But now let's talk about, at the same time, what does it mean to dishonor or to not honor someone? The word in the Greek, atimia, literally means common or ordinary. So to view a brother as common is not something I want to do. Why? Because there is nothing common or ordinary about you, because you and I, we each have the anointing of God dwelling in and on us. And if I dishonor you with the anointing, then I'm doing no different than those we're going to read about in a moment in Jesus' hometown, where they dishonored him. Because it wasn't just him they were not honoring, it was the anointing on him. But yet, even in a husband-wife relationship, you can get to the point that things become so common that if you're not careful, you can lose that honor, that value that you've placed on the other person. It's something we do need to think about routinely. Now look at 1 Peter. Well, you don't need to turn there because it's just three words I'm going to read. 1 Peter 2:17. We talked about honoring people in the church, but 1 Peter 2:17 starts off saying, honor all people. So that says I'm supposed to honor believers and heathens. And I'll just make it heathen so that you can think the worst. And I want you to think about Jesus. The only people that he really got on their case was the Pharisees and Sadducees and the religious leaders. And those, he chastised them. But everybody else, look at the love and the honor he showed to them. I mean, can you imagine ministering to 5,000 or 6,000 people in one day and the honor you would have to show to allow that many people just to come to you? So we have a good example in Jesus, but honor all men. And when I read that, I saw that scripture, the Lord had given it to me, it made me think about 2 Corinthians 5:16, which says, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Now what that says to me is, I don't look at you according to the flesh, but I see God in you. Well, how about those that aren't saved? I look at them the same way the Father does, the potential that they have to be a temple of his Holy Spirit. And it changes the way we look about people. And I thought that was so interesting when I was studying and meditating it this afternoon, Because that's exactly the gift that was exalted concerning Donna this morning. And it's something yet we're all called to do. Look at Romans 12. And we're going to look at just two verses, 9 and 10. Verse 9 says, "Let love be without hypocrisy." If you're reading King James, it says dissimulation. I like hypocrisy better because at least I know what that means. "Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love." And I want you to listen to this closely. "Give preference to one another." How? "In honor." Now, give preference to one another in honor. This means that not only are you supposed to give honor, but you're supposed to be a receiver to it, of it also. So don't play this game of false humility and pride of, "Oh, I don't deserve that." Accept it. Why do you want to accept it? Because I'm going to tell you that when others honor you, they're going to get honored by God. Don't resist that and hurt their blessing. Now, this is a little change in mindset, and we'll talk about right and wrong attitudes for honor in just a moment. But it just is a little bit different mindset. So we're supposed to do it also because it's being done in love without any hypocrisy. Now, I have seen people give honor to folks and tell them things that they did wonderful when they did it terribly. When I was working, positive reinforcement was part of the Malcolm Baldrige thing. Some of you may, if you were involved in that, you would reinforce people for good behavior. Well, it got to the point that if people messed up, you would reinforce them and tell them good things even though they had messed up. That's not true honor. We're not talking about speaking falsehood to people. We're talking about truly honoring them and seeing them the way that the Lord sees them. Now, on giving and receiving, and I just thank you, Holy Spirit, for this also, because what did Trey say this morning? Abraham, 12 Genesis, second verse, you're blessed to do what? To be a blessing. You are honored to be honorable to others, to honor them. And when we do that, what happens? Who gets the glory for that when we honor each other, even those of us who are not worthy of being honored? The Lord does. We pass the glory on to Him. And that reminds me of 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, I think it's the 12th verse, which is talking about giving. And they talk about how the gifts you gave and the grace to give those gifts created thanksgiving. And we gave thanksgiving, and thanksgiving abounded to more giving. And then it abounded to more thanksgiving. So they were, let me use honor. They were showing honor and giving thanks for it and glorifying God. They were showing more honor because more thanksgiving led to more grace. And they were showing, what's that circle doing? It's just increasing and increasing and going up. That's how we increase, how we can increase as we honor others in this respect. Now, Isaiah 29:13. That's 28, I think. At least I hope it is. Let me read it to you. "Then the Lord said, because this people draw near me with their words, and they honor me with their lip service." Now, what is that saying? They draw near me with their words, but it's lip service. In other words, it's rote. It's something that they're just doing, and they're not sincere about it. This is giving honor to earn favor. But what does the Lord say is true honor? Giving. He says, "They give, they draw near to me with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. So what I want to tell you tonight is just saying words in passing that don't come from down here is not true honor being given. In fact, that goes back to the previous verse we read. That's hypocrisy. And if you're doing it trying to manipulate someone, to me that's akin to witchcraft. And we know we don't want any part of that. So we want to get our hearts right in this. It's not just something we do. It's someone we become so that that honor flows out of us toward others. Let's look at an example in the Old Testament where honoring was not done. In 1 Samuel, the second chapter. Eli had two sons, and they were rascals. In fact, it says worse than that about them. Starting in the 12th verse, let me turn back the page here, talking about Hophni and Phinehas in verse 12, it says, "Now the sons of Eli were worthless men, and they did not know the Lord." Now, that's pretty bad when the scripture calls you worthless, okay? Now, in the next chapters, the next few verses, and we won't read them all, it tells why. What they were doing was they were priests, they were serving in the temple, and what they would do is when men brought their offering, they would take the best of that offering and not let it be processed according to the instruction of the Lord, and they would take it for themselves. And as a result of doing that, then down in verse 17, it says that the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord, for the men despised the offering of the Lord. So not only were they dishonoring the offering that the people were bringing, they were dishonoring the people. And as I meditated this verse, I asked the Lord, who abhorred the offering of the Lord? Obviously, Phinehas and his brother, but it was like the Lord is saying everyone began to abhor the offering because of the dishonor that was being showed to the offering and to them. But who ultimately was the one who was being dishonored? The Lord. So look down then in verse 29. In verse 29, the Lord is talking to Eli, and he said, "Why do you kick at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I've commanded in my dwelling, and honor," let me say, "value your sons above me?" Whoa, let's stop there. You value your sons above me. Now, those of us who have raised children and now have grandchildren, they are highly valued. But this made me just sit back a little bit this weekend and ask the question, do I value and am I thinking about them in a way that I shouldn't? Because you're first, Lord, and they're down the chain. Folks, it's easy to do in this world. So many people I've heard, now don't talk bad about my children. And even with work, they will put their work above the Lord. So this thing of honoring Him ultimately first is a big deal. And then he goes on and tells what they're doing as a result of it. You're making yourselves fat. Now that's the same rich, but it's not in a good sense. With the choicest of every offering of my people. Therefore the Lord God of Israel declares, I did indeed say that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me, I would say who do not esteem me, will be lightly esteemed. Now, none of us would say we despise the Lord. But if we are esteeming things and people in our lives higher than Him, we are lightly esteeming Him. And that's not a position we want to be in. Now, let me tell you what this word for honor here is. The word is spelled K-A-B-A-D, kavod. And it means weighty or heavy. Now, some of you may recognize it as very close to the word kavod, or kabod is how I said it until I listened to it today and heard how you're supposed to pronounce it. And what does that word mean? It's translated glory. This is the same root word for honor, is translated weighty and heavy, and refers to the glory of God. Now, does that create an import in the view of your, in your mind, of how important the Lord sees honor? He equates it almost like, as we give honor to one another, as we honor Him with His glory. I just want you to raise this up in the value of honor, raise it up in our lives. In the New Testament, the word for honor that I told you I'd tell you later is D-O-X-A, doxa, which is also in the New Testament translated glory and honor. So we see it in the Old Testament words, in the New Testament words. And what is the doxology which we get from it? It's praises, singing praises to our Lord. So this honoring is praising people and exalting, if I can use that word, them before the people, so that they don't see themselves as a worthless part of the body of Christ. And how many people, when you start talking about, yeah, I'm part of the body, well, I don't like to talk about what part of the body I am. I'm just a little toe or a big toe or some part that you don't want to talk about. And that is an incorrect view of how we ought to view ourselves. Now, there's no dishonorable parts in the body of Christ. Now, what is the impact of this? Look over in chapter 4, in verses 11. In chapter 4, in verse 11, because of the dishonor, the ark of the Lord was taken by the Philistines. It says, and the ark was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. So what had happened? What left Israel at that time when the ark left? The glory of the Lord left. And then we look down in verse 21, and Phinehas' wife, just the previous verses, was talking about how she was about to give birth, and she heard that Eli and her husband were killed, and the pains were upon her, and she squatted down and gave birth. And one of the folks were going to comfort her and said, you've given birth to a son. And you know what she named the son? Ichabod. Part of that word is the kabod, or kavod, that we talked about. And the other part means no or not. So what is it saying? What does Ichabod mean? No glory. The glory of the Lord has departed from Israel. And why did the glory of the Lord depart from Israel? Because they would not honor, let's say it this way, the word of God, God Himself, nor His people. So folks, this is a serious thing, and I want us to see in Jesus' day that it has some impact on us. But before we do that, let me tell you that I believe honor is an area that ought to be exhibited in every part of our lives and our communities today. I find at least four areas, government or civil, where we are ought to honor the president, honor the office. Let's take it down to the local level. If you go, you're driving by Grace one day, and the police officer stops you. You're supposed to honor him. The scripture says that those people who serve us in civil areas, in governmental areas, are servants of God. So we're supposed to honor them. Second area, that I'll mention is family. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3 gives us the first commandment with promise, which is what? Honor your father and your mother, that you may have a long, happy, satisfied life. First commandment with promise. So that's the second one. The third thing that the Bible talks about is slave and masters. Now we can say, all right, what does that really mean? Well, how about employers and employees? How about bosses and those who work under them? How about teachers and students, if you want to think of an area where respect and honor has been lost today? And the word concerning them in Timothy says, masters being worthy of honor. So it's telling servants that the masters you have are worthy of honor. Yeah, but mine's sorry. I had a few of those as a boss in my career. Had one that BJ and I prayed, Lord, move me. And it was like, until I honored him, I wasn't going to get moved. But we finally did. And then the final area that we'll mention is, and certainly the last but not least, is in the spiritual realm, in the church. There are people who have been put in positions of authority who we are to honor in it. So in every aspect of our life, God expects us to be honorable people all throughout our days. Now, one thing that I have noticed in each of these areas, this honor that we're to show applies to people who are above us, who are maybe under us, and who are on a peer level with us. So it's not just talking about me to my boss. It's talking about me to those who are, who maybe I'm boss of or over in their work. And it's also talking about giving and receiving when we look at that. So what value does honor have to you and I as we walk in the world today? Well, what better example to look at than Jesus? So go to Mark, and we're going to go to the 6th chapter, and we're going to look at Jesus and what happened to him when honor was not given. Because again, if we don't have the right heart, then that's going to impact your faith, because you're going to put yourself in a position where you're going to be easily condemned in your attitudes toward others. So I'm going to look at 4 examples concerning healing today. So 2nd verse, chapter 6, and we're just going to read 2 through 4, or 5. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many listeners were astonished. And they were saying, where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom that has been given to him, and such miracles as these performed by his hands? So what's happening when they first hear and see what Jesus is doing? They're giving him honor. But something changes. Third verse says, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are his sisters not here with us today? What did they just do to Jesus? They took the anointing and set it aside and disregarded it and just said, well, he's just one of us. He's just like me. He ain't no different than I am. And what happened when that occurred? The next verse goes on and says, and Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his own relatives and in his own household. And 5 says, and he could do no. Didn't say he wanted to do less. It said he could do no mighty miracles except that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. So here we see the people are wowed by somebody, and then after they get a little bit accustomed to him, they say, well, gosh, he ain't no better than I am. And what happens? Honor changes. Now, I got to be honest with you. Most every time I've heard this talked about, it's been about men or women who were coming teaching or who were in positions in a church. And it was almost taught as, you're not honoring them enough. And I'm sure that is true. But I want to tell you also that it is just as important that those of us who stand up here and minister, Trey and Robert, Donna, Matt, and others that are in leadership, Bruce that's in leadership here, do you know it's just as easy for us to just look at them and say, well, that's just old. And what have we just done as we look down at those people over whom we've been given some responsibility? We've just made them common. So I want you to see, this is a two-way street. It doesn't matter where you are in that chain of command. It is going to be a temptation by the devil. Why? So he can separate us, so he can create disunity, for us not to see the value in each other. And he'll work on that hard. The next one I want to look at quickly is Luke 5, 17 through 21. And we may just talk more about this one than read the verses. This is the account of the centurion. And what happens? His servant is sick, and he comes. What verse did I tell you? 17. Is that right? No, this is a different one. The third one is the centurion. This is a man born by four. And so Luke says that Jesus was teaching in the area. And who had occupied most of the seats? The Pharisees and Sadducees. They'd come to see him. And why were they coming to see him all the time? Not to honor him, but to try to trick him, to put him, to see what they could do to create an issue for him. And the word says, and the healing was there to heal. The power, the anointing was there to heal everybody. But only one guy got healed. And then Jesus says to them later on, why are you reasoning in your minds? Is it easier to raise this one up and heal him or say your sins are forgiven? What did they just done? What were they doing? With their thoughts, they were dishonoring Jesus. Now the question I've always had is, do you reckon there were any of them? Because I would see these being middle-aged to older people who needed some healing in their own body. But because of no respect, one person that we know about got healed that day. No honor being showed. So what am I pointing out here? Two situations where lack of honor has hindered the anointing of God working in a big corporate way to provide healing to folks. And if it works in that way with healing, it probably is the same in others. Then you look at Matthew 8, which is the account of the centurion. And the centurion's servant was sick, but he asked Jesus, my servant is paralyzed at home, suffering great pain. And Jesus said to him, and I love these words, and I'm going to say it as you would diagram this sentence. I will heal him. Now, do we have the honor for the Holy Spirit dwelling in us enough to where when someone says we have a need, that we can respond as Jesus did? If we're honoring the presence of God and what is really dwelling inside us, if we know that, then we ought to respond the same way Jesus did. But look at what this man said. He said, Lord, I am not worthy. He's taking himself and he's placing Jesus in a position of higher honor than he is. I'm not worthy to take your time and just do this. But then he says, but just speak the word. For I too am a man under authority. So what do we see here? That when we give honor to someone, even though they may not have positional authority over, we're giving them some authority to speak into our life the things that the Lord is telling them. Now, why is that important? Well, I don't know about you, but there's been on more than one occasion when I've asked the Lord for something. In fact, it was mentioned this morning. And the Lord gave me the answer, but it came in a package that I didn't honor. And I disdained it, which is one, the NIV uses that word for dishonor sometimes. So we've got to be careful that we don't stop the blessing of the Lord coming to us when it doesn't come in the package that maybe for some season we haven't honored correctly. Amen. But if I'm looking at this person with honor, even though I may know that they ain't got many words from the Lord, and they come with something that's right on target with what I need, then what am I going to do? My spirit's going to be jumping, and I'm going to receive it. So the reaction of the soldier, even when Jesus said, I'll come, of still being humble, of honoring Jesus more than taking honor for himself, which he had the perfect right to do, got him the answer. And then you go to the next one. If you're taking notes, it's in Matthew 15, 22 through 26. And it's the Syrophoenician woman. And she comes up, and I mean, these are people who would say they were, if we said lightly esteemed, that would be a gross understatement. I mean, these were the bottom of the bottom in the eyes of the Jews. And she comes and implores Jesus concerning her daughter. But she honors him to such a degree that even when he refers to his time and that he's not come to give the crumbs to the, I mean, to give the things to the dogs, he calls her a dog. She doesn't get offended in him. Why? Because how did she start her relationship with him? Honoring him. She elevated him to where she saw him higher than her, that even when he called her a dog, she didn't get offended. And to think of how sensitive we are with some words today that just turns us off offense-wise, it's really scary in my eyes. And then the word of the Lord comes to her because of it. Jesus responds to that word. He recognizes it. And what happened to her daughter? She was healed. And the last example that I was going to use was one that Pastor used this morning in his teaching about anointing Jesus. What was she doing? She was honoring him. She was expressing, as he talked about in the financial numbers, the value, the worth that she placed in him. And let me say it even differently. The value that she placed in the anointing on him. Because she recognized that. And what was her reward then? You might say, well, what did she get from it? Well, forever. She'll be recognized and people will be talking about her just like we did this morning. So we get rewards in this earth for our giving honor, and we get eternal rewards as we give, and I'll say receive honor from each other. Let's look at a few scriptures in the short time we have here. Let's go to John, the 5th chapter. And look at the words of Jesus. John 5, verse 23. And I'm just going to read the one verse for time's sake. In fact, I'm just going to read the part B of it. Jesus says, he who does not honor the Son. So he's talking to these people who haven't been honoring him. And he's saying, you're just not honoring me. You're what? You're also not honoring the one who sent me. So, when we, as members of the body of Christ, have people sent to us who are operating in the gifts that God has given, and we don't honor them, what are we doing? We're not honoring the Father. We're not honoring Jesus, who gave him that gift and sent him to us. Look at Matthew 10. And I'm going to take the liberty in this set of verses. Matthew 10, we'll start at verse 40. I'm going to attempt to read this with some substitution of the word honor in here. Verse 40 starts out and says, "He who receives you receives me." I would submit, based on what we've just talked about, that I could say, "He who honors you honors me." So I want to read this to you with the word honor there. "He who honors you honors me. And he who honors me honors him who sent me." Verse 41. "He who honors a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive the prophet's reward. And he who honors a righteous man in the name of the righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever in the name of a disciple honors one of these little ones, even with a cup of water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward." So receiving the gifts that God has placed on people and allowing them to come minister in our lives is honoring to God and is positioning us to receive what we need today and eternally as well. Now, I've been guilty of this. There was a gentleman, a pastor, who used to come to our church in Tennessee, and I just did not like him. And it got to a point where if he was coming, I was looking for a reason to go somewhere. BJ will nod. She'll acknowledge that's true. And the Lord just spoke to me one time and said, "I sent him. Go receive from him." And you know, I still didn't like the way he delivered things. But you know what? I began to hear from God. In fact, I've done that with different types of worship music. Go for seasons in a church where you didn't like the music. And the Lord said, "Worship me. Honor me." And guess what? I received, as I gave him honor, in singing those songs that I didn't particularly care for. And how many situations in life do we get into that are similar to that? Now, John 5:41 is one the Lord brought to my attention. And Jesus says, "I do not receive glory from men. I do not receive honor from men." Now, I know what he's saying in there, but I think there's more than just the obvious that I've already read. What he's saying is that it doesn't matter to me as much as what men say about me as what my Father says about me. But what is he really saying there? He doesn't receive honor from men. And the reason I ask that question is because we've already been told to receive honor. What he's saying is, even when I receive honor from men because of something I've done, I'm not receiving the honor, I'm giving it to God. Because it's him in me doing the work. So all he's doing is passing it on. And yet, there are a lot of people who desire honor, and the only reasons we desire it, from my viewpoint, is two. Number one, if you wanted to give honor to Fred, then he ought to receive it so that you could receive your reward for giving. And number two, so he could take it and say, "Lord, I know this isn't possible without you, therefore I take that honor he's given me and I give it to you and pass it on to him." That's the only time that ought to happen. So if that's the case, then that says to me we should never, ever, pastors, teachers, anybody, I don't care what level they are, demand honor. If you are demanding honor from a position of authority, be it civil or workplace or church, then you're doing it because of what is lacking in your life and trying to get other people to fill that up. Now, don't just look at pastors and say that could be the place. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees and the teachers, rabbis? "You love to be called rabbis." Why? Because it makes you feel honored when people elevate you like that? How much good does it do me to say words that I don't mean, that sound like I'm honoring a teacher who comes in here that I really don't like? Zero. Why? Because it's my heart that matters. So we want to make sure that we don't put ourselves on the receiving end or try to be on that receiving end anytime. Think about Eli's sons. I don't know that they knew what they were doing. But then think about, do you remember the story in Esther? In fact, let's look at it. It's just a few verses. Go to Esther 6th chapter, the book of Esther. Haman has put together a plot. He's deceived the king. And it's a working. And Mordecai comes along, comes to Esther for such a time as this. Reckon that applies to us today. And in chapter 6, this thing is about to unfold. And here comes Haman in. He's been summoned by the king. And he comes in, and the king says, "What shall be done for the man whom the king delights to honor?" Now, what did Haman wanted? He had wanted to put himself in a position of honor and earn the honor of the king at the destruction of God's people. So the king says this, and I just love this. I love the word. "Now Haman thought in his heart, whom would the king delight to honor more than me?" Does that sound like what the devil said in heaven? Pride? Look at verse 7. "Then Haman said to the king, for the man..." "Then Haman said to the king, for the man who the king desires to honor..." And then keeps on going. He describes then in 8 and 9, "to bring a royal robe to him, let him parade him around the city and declare how noble this man is." Now go on to verse 11. And the king, in verse 10, says, "Okay, that's a good idea. So take Mordecai and you go do that for him." So in verse 11, says that Haman, let me get back over to my Bible, "took the robe and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and led him on horseback through the city square and proclaimed before him, 'Thus it shall be done to the man who the king desires to honor.'" So you see what happened to a man who desired honor? He was put in a position where he was brought low. In fact, he was brought real low because within a few hours, he was dead. But I want you to look what happened to the Jews. Let me get to it. Chapter 8, verse 16. Because Mordecai cared, he didn't care about being honored, he just wanted to protect his countrymen. Esther put herself and didn't seek honor, but put herself at risk by approaching the king. And look what happened to them and God's people. In verse 16. "For the Jews, after all this happened and they issued letters about him, there was light and gladness, joy and honor." The people who were about to be destroyed, what had happened to them? They were raised up and honored. Let me tell you my perspective as being a teacher here in front of you. And I believe this expectation should be made of all leaders, not just in the spiritual realm, but in every realm. Because a leader from the position and authority that we're put in, whether I'm supervising or in work or ministering in front of you, my charge, can you get Colossians 1:28? My charge is to build you up. My desire is that my ceiling becomes your floor. Where I've reached the only top, I want you to start there. And why? Because as leaders, if I'm honoring you, then I want to warn every man, teaching every man in all wisdom. Now let's stop there. So correction is going to come from leaders. Instruction's going to come. Reproof is going to come. 2 Timothy 3 will list those four things. Instruction in righteousness is going to come. But it's all done in love and in honor towards you, if it's done correctly. If it's not done that way, it won't be received well. And it'll do no good for the one speaking it, nor the one hearing it. Why do we want to do that? So that we can, I'm not there, you're going to have to, yeah. So that we may present every man perfect, my Bible says complete, in Christ Jesus. People who are over us in authority will sometimes have to say things to us that we don't like. But if we will be like the Syrophoenician lady, then we will learn from those things and profit from them. I'm going to tell you, Jesus was our example. I like it because I consider it when I talk about my desire to you is for my ceiling to be your floor. John 14, chapter 12. What did he say? The same works that I do, these and greater will you do. And instead of saying, because I go to my Father, I'm going to say, because I honor my Father in being obedient to His word. The value of us walking in honor in every aspect of our life goes far beyond what we've ever imagined. So, Father, as we close tonight, I thank you that the Holy Spirit has spoken not only to me, but to others, so that we learn to walk in increased levels of this honor. Father, you tell us that there is no end to the increase of your kingdom. And so for those that have been walking in high levels of honor, I ask you for higher levels. For those of us who've been at low levels, I ask you to continue to bring us up, open our eyes, enlighten the eyes of our understanding so that we may walk in giving honor to people as we honor and glorify you. Father, I bless these people. I thank you for them. I thank you for their love for you. And I thank you for those who will be touched by these here tonight during this coming week so that you will get all the honor. You who deserve it, in Jesus' name.